Welcome to Pop Off, a special edition of Culturetopia, NPR's Arts and Culture podcast. I'm Zoe Chase, producer at the Arts Desk. This week, we're going to talk about comebacks.
Yo, G, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they hop?
In 2002, the rapper and producer Kanye West was in the studio in L.A. making beats for Beanie Siegel. On his way back, he was in a gruesome car accident. His jaw was broken in three places. He had to get it wired shut. 2 weeks later, he was back in the studio. This song that he recorded then, Through the Wire, was the lead single off his first solo album, The College Dropout.
I really apologize to everyone right now. It's unclear at all, man. They got my mouth wired shut for like, I don't know, the doctor said like 6 weeks. You know, I had reconstructive surgery on my jaw. I looked in the mirror, half of my jaw was in the back of my mouth, man. I couldn't believe it. But I'm still here for y'all right now, man. This is what I got to say right here, though. Yeah, turn me up, yeah.
Kanye had just gotten signed to the Rockefeller label 2 weeks earlier. Before that, he was a freelance producer. He made incredible hits for Jay-Z, Scarface, Mos Def, Talib Kweli. You know, every big-name artist, Kanye was their producer. But he wanted to rap, and he was having a lot of trouble getting signed to do that. Right when he's trying to put out the album where he's the featured artist, he can barely move his mouth to rhyme. And this is what a comeback should sound like. You come back bigger, better, wiser, more audacious than you sounded before. But these days, all the world's a stage and all the comebacks merely players. I'm going to turn it over to the erudite Jay Smooth. He blogs at illdoctrine.com. And Maura Johnson. She's a brilliant freelance music writer.
I'm living in that 21st century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen do it.
So it looks like Kanye West is back after his banishment from the pop kingdom, but he doesn't seem contrite or apologetic at all for what he did wrong.
It's so defiant. The first time I heard it, I was just sort of blown away.
No one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours. Stop tripping, I'm tripping off the power.
It's been called power, and the refrain, no one man should have so much power. A lot of people have credited that to Spike Lee's Malcolm X film, where Malcolm X leads a protest against the police department, and you see an officer say, no man should have that much power. So he's definitely alluding to great, powerful figures.
I'm not sure if other people will be as endeared to the fact that he's ready to reclaim his throne in such a bombastic way.
He does not sound contrite at all on this song.
Colin Powers, Austin Powers, lost in translation with a whole f***ing nation. They say I was the abomination of Obama's nation. Well, that's a pretty bad way to start the conversation. At the end of the day, God, I'm killing this. I know damn well y'all feeling this. I don't need your time on my own.
He's definitely getting back to his business as usual of being the amazingly megalomaniacal Kanye West, which I suppose is what you usually do in these situations. You show contrition right away and offer up a mea culpa, then you disappear for a while, go away long enough that people wonder where you went, and then you come back and get back to your business as usual. But for Kanye West, his usual business is this grandiose megalomania, so
right.
I guess it may come across a little awkward.
Yeah, do you think people need to have their apologies, you know, reiterated over and over again? You know, I mean, he sort of apologized in the wake of that MTV incident, which personally, when I saw it happen live, I actually thought it was just part of the script because, you know, it's the Video Music Awards. They're the fakest fake award show ever.
Right.
And I thought it was really just like a sort of wrestling thing where he was just, you know, doing the run-in, which is the time-honored wrestling tradition.
Right.
Where the heel, so to speak, always runs in and messes everything up.
I think the way this is all played out shows how the storyline of hip-hop has evolved over the years because when Kanye rushed the stage and interrupted Taylor Swift, it was almost exactly like something that happened 10 or 12 years before, where Old Dirty Bastard from the Wu-Tang Clan ran on stage in the middle of Sean Colvin accepting award and other country artists of the time, not as big as Taylor Swift. But back at that time, when Old Dirty Bastard rushed the stage, hip-hop had entered the mainstream somewhat, but was still basically a music of the rebellious counterculture, and certainly Old Dirty Bastard was a fringe counterculture figure. So when he ran up there and interrupted Sean Colvin, even though it was pretty rude and out of place, you felt like it was a victory for the freaks against the popular kids, right, in a way.
I don't know how y'all see it, but when it comes to the children, Wu-Tang is for the children. We teach the children. You know what I mean? Puffy is good, but Wu-Tang is the best, okay? I want y'all to know that this is ODB and I love you all. Peace.
But 15, 12 years later, when Kanye West does the same thing, hip-hop has become so mainstream that a top rap star like Kanye West, he's not freak or an outcast at all. He's one of the popular kids. So when he picks on Taylor Swift, it looks like the captain of the football team is picking on one of the freshmen.
Yo, Taylor, I'm really happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish. But Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. One of the best videos of all time.
See, I actually think that he has a different place in the high school pantheon of pop, so to speak. I think he's more of a overachiever who, when he lets his vulnerability down, mm-hmm. he gets sort of picked on and made fun of. And I see him as more of like the really, really smart kid who cries in the lunchroom and who everyone's like, did you see that kid crying in the lunchroom? You know? Like that's sort of like, and then the one grand gesture that he makes to prove his cool backfires. And that was the Taylor Swift thing. That was how I viewed it anyway.
You could take it at his one grand stroke to impress the prom queen.
Exactly. Beyonce. Yeah.
But whatever it was, it certainly backfired.
It did. It's funny that, you know, he's doing this comeback attempt, I guess, because he performed on the BET Awards. He opened the BET Awards the same night that someone else who has been sort of on the comeback trail as of late performed and tried to sort of win back his fans, and that would be Chris Brown.
Right.
It seems like there's been a little bit more positive feedback to Chris Brown, who on the BET Awards, he did a Michael Jackson medley. And mm-hmm. then it finished up with Man in the Mirror, Michael Jackson song, and he couldn't sing it at all.
His wings blow my
fire. He couldn't, he was choking his way through it.
Not enough to eat, want mine to be bright.
And he actually just cried and walked off stage. And I think that's interesting that there was this sort of outpouring toward him where people on Twitter were saying he's back and we love you. And do you think people need the tears in order to forgive?
It's hard to say. I mean, it's such a peculiar ritual, the whole dance of wrongdoing and forgiveness for yeah. public figures and pop stars. I mean, just the fact that everyone finds it so easy to compare Chris Brown and Kanye West.
Right, right.
When the things that they did are not comparable at all.
No.
Chris Brown physically assaulted his girlfriend. Right. Kanye West committed a faux pas at a fake awards show. But so much of the dance of wrongdoing and forgiveness in the pop world isn't really about what you actually did and the severity of it. It's just about how you deal with the theater of doing something wrong and trying to make up for it. Mm-hmm. So even though what Chris Brown did was 100,000 times worse, if he handles the theater better, he could still come out ahead.
Then there's the Tiger Woods cheating on his wife. I mean, because if you look at like the apologies that have made news in recent months, what Kanye is apologizing for, like you said, it just seems so minor. It just seems, you know, like something that you could settle with a phone call or a card or some flowers.
Right, right, right. But as actual wrongdoing between real people, it was
yeah.
very minor.
Yeah.
But as theater, it played very badly because of how his storyline mixed with Taylor Swift's storyline. It played out as a very bad public spectacle. So that makes it perhaps just as hard to overcome as Chris Brown's wrongdoing, even though he actually did something right. horribly wrong.
Yeah. You know, the fact that Chris Brown took up the mantle of Michael Jackson specifically, I mean, obviously, Chris Brown and Michael Jackson are both talented dancers, so the parallel's there. It was also interesting because it was this sort of redemption by association
right.
sort of thing, where Michael Jackson, once he passed away, he got assumed into pop heaven, so to speak. And part of me wonders if the fact that it was his channeling Michael Jackson, if that helped people be more receptive to him, especially since Man in the Mirror is such a powerful song. It was the song that was played the most, I think, in the wake of Michael Jackson's death.
Mm-hmm.
And because people loved that message. People loved the idea that you can change. People loved the idea that you can make yourself a better person. But you have to say it. You have to say, I want to change. You have to use the Dr. Phil self-help language if you want people to be ready for you to change.
Wanna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right.
Right, and I think that's appealing, especially if you've been someone that people wanted to like. I mean, Chris Brown was, in his own way, sort of America's sweetheart before this incident happened.
Doublemint Gum.
Right, right, right. He was sort of a squeaky, clean, innocent character in his own way. I mean, not to the same degree as Taylor Swift, but he was someone that people were inclined to like and be sympathetic to before this, which is why it came as such a shock. But I also think it's why a sincere attempt at redemption can be very compelling for his fans, and they'll be eager to suspend their disbelief and get behind him again in a way that people might not be for Kanye West, because he's been someone that you sort of enjoy and tolerate, but he's not someone that you necessarily love in the same way that you love a Chris Brown or a Taylor Swift.
You know, sampling King Crimson, who is this British rock band from the depths of the classic rock era,
right.
and Kanye sampling 21st Century Schizoid Man, which is, I think, just sampling such a bombastic song and such a bombastic bit of that song is a statement in itself. It says, I am ready to take the biggest, most grandiose statements and reappropriate them for myself.
And specifically choosing 21st Century Schizoid Man plays into his traditional persona really well, since he's always all over the place and combining being really thoughtful in some lyrics, incredibly silly and frivolous in others, you know, being really, really egotistical, and then coming back and being really introspective and vulnerable.
Time alone with my own thoughts, got treasures in my mind, but couldn't open up my own vault. My talent, creativity, purity, and honesty is honestly being crowded by these grown thoughts. Reality is catching up with me, taking my inner child. I'm fighting for custody with these responsibilities that they entrusted me. As I look down at my diamond and crush the piece, thinking no one man should have all that power. The clock's ticking, I just count the hours.
He is pop music's 21st century schizoid man, I think you could say. So it was a good choice. But are people ready to accept his schizoid self after his last bout of antics? I don't know.
I don't know if they are. I think people really, right now, want their celebrities to be not that multifaceted, because that way it's easier to fit them into the storylines. Usually, in the classic narratives, duplicity, or, you know, even just having two faces is the sign of a villain,
right?
But Batman and Bruce Wayne are also two sides of the same person. So who's to say that, you know, being multifaceted is always the sign of being a bad guy?
Right. I mean, to a certain extent, being conflicted can be compelling and draw people in, but it's usually easiest if you have a persona that's easily identifiable. I'm the good guy, I'm the sweetheart,
I'm the
rebel, I'm the brain, I'm the villain, I'm the nerd.
Right.
And Kanye has a few of those elements wrapped into one, and he kind of alternates between them, so it might be a little trickier for him to get back on track with a balance that was always difficult to maintain, showing these different sides of him.
You
yes I did. So I packed it up and brought it back.
That's Jay Smooth. He blogs at nildoctrine.com. And Maura Johnston, she's a freelance music writer. You can catch her these days at The All. That's AWL. Come back and see us again. Thanks for listening.
Wild, the crowd is. You don't see just how fly my style is. I don't see why I need a stylist when I shop so much I can speak Italian. I don't know, I just want it better for my kids. And I ain't saying we was from the projects, but every time I want to lay away all the prizes, my daddy say when you see clothes, close your eyelids. We was sort of like Will Smith and his son in the movie. I ain't talking about the rich ones, because every summer he'd get some brand new hair, brain scheme to get rich from. And I don't know what he did for dope, but he'll send me back to school with a new wardrobe. And hey, hey, I think he did when he packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little something, show you how we live. Everything I wanted, man, it seems so serious. That's that ish. So if you gon' do it just like this. Did you realize that you are a champion? When it feel like living's harder than dying. For me, giving up's way harder than trying. Lauryn Hill said her heart was in Zion. I wish her heart still was in rhyming. Kids gon' listen to, huh? I guess me if it isn't you. Last week I paid a visit to the institute. They got the dropout keeping kids in the school. I guess I clean up my act like Prince do. If not for the pleasure, least for the principal. They got the CD, then got to see me drop gems like I dropped out of PE. They used to feel invisible. Now they know they invincible. Hey, hey, hey.
This is the story of champions.